Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, April 23rd, 2012. And I'm doing it on April 24th. And I apologize for being late. I've been a little busy. You know what I mean? Isn't that a cunty thing to say? You know what I mean? I could have just said, you know, I apologize, and now I got to say I'm busy. So what? So I make you feel bad? You probably didn't feel bad, did you, you assholes? Anyways, this is the podcast, and this week I have another special guest. I'm cheating again this week, making it easy on myself. All the way from New Jersey, ladies and gentlemen, the legendary. We brought you up a zillion times on this podcast, Paul Verzi.
It's good to be here, man.
Paul, Vinny, Michael, Anthony Verzi.
What's going on?
From fucking New Jersey.
From New York.
From New York. And big-time Jets and Giants fan, depending on who's winning.
You know what's funny about that? People actually come up to me now, and they were like, oh, yeah. Like, some guy saw my name on a list to do a show, and he goes, oh, yeah. He goes, oh, dude, Bill Burr was just saying that guy just listed, like, you know, likes any team in New York who's winning and stuff.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, he's right here. And I turn. And he goes, oh, you're Paul. He goes, yeah, man, Bill Burr was trash here today. And I go, what? What do you say? He goes, well, you're from Jersey. I go, no, I'm from New York, and I'm a Giants fan. He goes, no, he said you were a Jets fan, too. I go, no, he didn't. He goes, yeah, he did.
I did. And that's the exact reason why I did it. I did it so people would just be coming up to you. Yeah, you should do it on your podcast. Just make up some shit about me, and then I'll have to deal with it. That's I did that hysterical. With DeRosa. DeRosa, when I moved out to L.A., and he slid into my spot on the Opie and Anthony program, the running gag was that I was upset that he stole my thunder and that the
hilarious.
Show didn't miss me. So I started calling him the teen idol sensation from the Opie and Anthony program, and people started calling him that, except he loved it. So now we just call him the sensation, which I think is one of the great fucking nicknames out there. Joey Roses.
Joey Roses is a great nickname.
Nia
man.
Came up with that.
That's a great one.
Joey Roses,
like
the sensation.
Like, he should be called that. That's what he should be called.
He is. It's fucking old school. So that makes me thrilled. Thrilled that people are bothering you.
The Jersey thing is sticking, man. You're getting me with that.
Dude, you look like a guy from New Jersey. I got to be honest with you. This is to give people a background here on Paul Michael Anthony Verzi. Whatever Italian middle name
it's
you fucking
Thomas. Have. My nickname is my middle name is Thomas.
All right, Paul Thomas Verzi is like I can't tell you. He's been going off on how fucking awful New Jersey is. Like a typical New Yorker, what he does is he goes through the Lincoln Tunnel and he drives to Newark Airport. He sees IKEA and some of those awful chemical things, and then you start thinking that Jersey
some
is
of those
less
awful chemical things. Like they're not going down the whole turnpike.
Is less than.
The air is horrible. The traffic is terrible.
And the people
and
are
the
stupid, right?
The landscape is disgusting.
And what? And the people are stupid, right?
No, I never said that.
You
I
said
never,
they're dumb.
I never said the people are stupid. I said the crowds are a little
You're
dumber.
You're going to pull back on the podcast?
No.
You're going to pull back now?
No. The crowds are a little dumber in Jersey.
There.
No,
just fucking say what you have to say.
It's not even that they're a little dumber. They're just more like animals. Like, you know what I mean?
They're animals.
They're just like, you know.
I got to tell you, Paul.
Like, you get more of that in Jersey.
All right. I am not biased, okay? As a fucking outsider.
Yeah, you are. There's a party that hates
New York. I can tell you. Oh, I definitely hate New York.
Yeah, yes.
But I hate New Jersey, too.
Oh, all right.
Just as far as, like, their sports teams. I hate them. I wish misery on all you guys because you're a bunch of cunts. And the only reason why I'm saying that is because I've been behind enemy lines. But anybody from Jersey or New York who went to BU or came up and it's the same thing. When you're behind enemy lines, you thought you hate the Red Sox until you moved to Boston. Then you really fucking hate them. And that's what happened to me. I lived in New York during that whole Curse of the Babe thing, and then we fucking finally beat you guys. And Elia, you run and hide, as fucking Pete Corielli says. Y'all ran and hid. Oh, no, I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you. See you later. And everybody fucking ran out, right? So, but I'm saying, but I equally hate all of that. So being right. Unbiased, dude, I cannot tell the difference between a New Jersey crowd, a fucking upstate New York guy like you, and fucking Long Island. Out in Governors, it's all the same. Oh!
No.
Hey!
No, I think the crowds can be both good, but I think they're smarter in New York. I do. I remember one time Mike DiStefano was on stage, and he did a joke, and it didn't go. Something happened in Jersey, and he goes, right over the fucking bridge. That's so great. He was just comparing it. It's right over the bridge.
I'm not saying that they're not more suburban. Absolutely. But, Paul, if you think that you're somehow smarter than those fucking jackasses in New Jersey. Just from where I'm standing, I don't see the difference. Oh, I really don't.
That's ridiculous.
You guys all do the same thing. Oh, whenever you eat into a sandwich and you like it, you fucking drop it for half a second. You look down the street like, oh, taste the fucking boogie in that thing. It's all the same fucking guy to me.
Oh, my God.
I'm that's breaking you. But you're going to tell me you don't go to Boston? It's not a bunch of fucking freckled-faced guys with clatter rings?
Oh, my God. That accent.
Fucking socks, dude.
Oh, my God.
It's horrific.
Yeah, my friend
Sean. I'm not defending it. I'm not. We're angry fucking psychopaths. We are.
You have deep-rooted hatred for New York because you were hurt by the Yankees. Okay? Here's the problem with you. You hate the Yankees more than – we've had great discussions about sports.
Yeah, I absolutely hate the Yankees.
And as soon as the Yankees come up, I've seen a sport – I've seen you go from a fun-loving sports conversation
– I hate them.
– to a Yankee, and all of a sudden you just get evil.
Because you guys – you just buy your way out of every fucking problem.
Right, but that's not my problem as a fan, huh? Bill. That's, you know,
I'm not saying it is your problem. I'm saying why I hate it. Stop making it about you. It's about my hatred of the fucking Yankees. And all those stupid fucking songs, If I Can Wake Up, and all the losers in New York walking around eating pizza, slice of pizza next to the Met in your fucking sweatpants, you know, with a fucking piece of work in there. But they think they're a part of it. That's what kills me. They think they're a part of it. The amount of people in New York live like fucking animals. And I know, dude, I live there. I fucking live there. I was sleeping on a futon at fucking 34, paying $1,400 a month. In a fucking studio apartment that they slammed a wall into and fucking told me it was a one bedroom until the night I went upstairs. I met the girl upstairs, right?
Yeah.
And I fucking went up to her apartment and she had the exact same unit right above me and it was a fucking studio. And she was paying way less than me. In a city that doesn't sleep.
I love New York. You got to admit, New York's great.
Oh, it's the Paris. It's Paris of the United States without a fucking doubt. I think it is our best city. But the amount of people who are in New York and who just think that they're winning just because they're there and they're not. And if they would just move across the fucking river into Jersey and not live like a fucking animal, they could just be as dumb. They could still wear their sweatpants. There's good pizza out there, but they don't. They got to be like near all these things that other people are making money on so that they can feel like, you know. Come on, dude. If you walked into one of those Trump Towers, they'd spit on you. They'd throw you right out on the street.
That's hilarious. No, man.
They brainwash you. After every fucking Yankees game, win or lose. You guys walk out. I see you. You walk out on air. You're feeling good about yourself.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm happy. I'm happy I live there. What do you want me to tell you? You know?
No, absolutely. No, I'm not saying no. And I'm saying it's awesome. I love it. I just hate the fucking Yankees. I don't even hate the Rangers. I love the Rangers, coach. I actually really like the Rangers. I like the Rangers. I like the Islanders. I like the Knicks. I like the Mets.
And you like the Giants?
And I actually like the Giants.
You like the Giants?
I like the Giants. I love the Giants. I love how their defense first. I love. You know, I like the uniforms. I love the old how they went back to the old Frank Gifford.
No, the Yankees ruined you.
Yeah,
that's the one thing that I noticed. About
no, it wasn't the Yankees. It was also reading the sports page and just the fucking pot shots they'd be taking. These because I was reading the Dan Shaughnessy's of New York, just taking these stupid shots at you know. Because they're just trying to sell papers because they're fucking lazy. And all they got to do is trash the Red Sox, right?
Dude, was that you who said Dan Shaughnessy brings baseball into everything? No matter what he's talking about?
Oh, that's what I love about that guy. He has his hustle and he sticks with it. If he was talking about the Bruins last year and he's just everybody, like everything was a Red Sox reference. Milan Lucic, like the Grady Little of the Boston Bruins.
Yeah, I was on a train with him once. It was after you guys won, and I was just sitting there drunk. It was funny. It was drunk New Yorkers. You guys won game one of – it was 03 or 04. Mike Messina lost the game.
Oh, it was 04. We lost. We lost the first three. Let me just remind you. We lost the first three, and then somehow you guys lost four in a row.
Yeah, I remember.
Biggest choke ever. Biggest choke ever. As far as, like, you know, four or five first ballot Hall of Famers, $215 million.
You know what? Listen, I have to take that responsibility. That was the worst.
I know you do. That's like when you fuck up in a game, and then afterwards you talk to the meeting going, I take full responsibility. We know you fucked up. Just sit there and listen to me say it.
Yeah, because you have to keep bringing it up. No, I'm on. It was funny watching Dan Shaughnessy's face on a subway in New York City with drunk Yankee fans who just saw their team lose game one of a big playoff series. And I was sitting there next to somebody. And I'm going, oh, fuck this, dude. We're going to. And he was just sitting there kind of just like looking around with his eyes and his froey hair. And he's got that, you know, that little boy Irish.
He's got to watch out now because he's on ESPN. Now he's not. He wasn't as well known back then. So he was down there covering it. His whole angle was the misery of Red Sox fans. So when they finally won, like, his hustle was over. He didn't know what to do. And I remember in 05, the Red Sox were in first place, and we started to fade in September. This is 05, right? And he wrote some article, "Is the curse back?" And it was like the curse of what? Fucking 11 months ago?
Oh, yeah, because you guys got a thing with fading in September. How did last year end up? Worst collapse ever. How'd that work out?
Well, if we didn't win fucking 9 championships in all sports, that would bug me. Yeah. Hey, man, you know what's great, though, is that's all you got. You used to go back to 1918. You had to go back. You're giving me shit about September in 2011. Listen, Paul, this is what I realized, and this is what the Red Sox failed to realize, that in life there are ups and downs, no matter how much money you spend. Because I'll tell you, I abandoned the Red Sox sometime in 2007. I didn't even watch that World Series because at that point we became you guys. We're just trying to buy it every fucking year. It's disgusting. Major League Baseball, it's fucking awful. You guys are Walmart. We're fucking like CVS. You know what I mean? It's just I don't give a fuck anymore. I honestly don't give a shit. And I remember I went to a Padres game, beautiful stadium down there, and there was nobody there. And I went there to the game with my mother, and she was looking. Nobody in the stands. She goes, "Oh my god!" She goes, "This is a sin. This beautiful ballpark, it's not filled." And I was trying to explain to her.
It is a sin.
I was trying to explain to her, though, dude. We took the only fucking reason to go to the game. That whatever their first baseman is, I don't watch baseball anymore. But he was the guy. He was their fucking Jeter, and we bought him. Now there was no reason to go.
Oh, is it that Gonzalez guy you got?
Yeah.
No, I don't watch baseball. Baseball is. I am way more interested in my New York Knicks. I am way more interested in other sports because I mean I can't watch a. Teixeira, Jeter, Cano, you know, it really is. It did get ridiculous.
You can watch Cano. No, Cano is your boyfriend.
No. Cano's my favorite baseball player of all time.
For those of you guys who never listen to this podcast, Verzi has a fucking man crush.
No.
I just love how you hate that because you're so homophobic.
No, the word man crush is so ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. No. And you know what happens? Your eyes always get squinty and you get upset. And that's why
no,
I say it.
I this is why I like Robinson Cano because, dude, I fucking called it. That's why.
Dude. Yeah, this is a classic Paul Verzi call. Classic Paul Verzi call. You called blue chip prospect in the Yankees system.
He wasn't
I'll tell you, I got a hunch on this kid. You're telling me he sucked all the way through fucking baseball.
No.
He sucked, right? And that's why the Yankees brought him up.
Came up and they're like,
hey, you know who else Paul called this year? Cam Newton, the Heisman Trophy winner. Dude, I got a feeling about this guy.
Yeah, but every Heisman Trophy winner usually shits the bed.
You're the worst.
No.
But Paul, you call everybody. You call blue chips. And then
Robinson Cano, I'm never going to give you. I'm never going to give it to you because
I'm not accepting it.
They were like, oh, they're going to trade him to the Twins. All my friends, now this guy's just coming up because he's just coming up because we need a second baseman now.
All these guys that you can't bring in here as evidence, they
He's
all disagree with you.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Paul,
dude.
I never looked at the guy like he was a bum. I never did. I don't understand why you. This is the worst thing. Like Paul does that shit where he starts a sentence 3 fucking times. So anytime he'll call me up, like he made me hate this guy and I don't even watch baseball. He calls me anytime he does anything, like a fucking 8-year-old still collecting cards. He'll be like, Bill, you watched the Yankee game tonight? Oh, God, you missed it. Dude, Robinson Cano came up, laced the double. Brings in Jeter. Oh. And you always do that. Oh. That fucking joy in your voice. And it just drives me.
I made you hate
him. Yeah, you made me hate him.
I know. But I will tell you this. You know what's funny? I was like, when we first started arguing Yankees, I would go, Bill, you're crazy. I would go, the payroll doesn't mean shit. You know, it doesn't mean other players want to go. And all of a sudden we got like Teixeira. And then we got like.
You already had A-Rod at that point. It was ridiculous.
No, we already. And then after a while I go, you know what? I got to.
Look, this is how I look at baseball. You cannot buy a championship, all right? But you can turn making the playoffs into a layup. And this is the deal. You can miss a layup, like the Red Sox last year. Anybody can miss a layup. And like the Brewers, you can hit a half-court shot.
Yeah.
But generally fucking speaking, if you look at the American League East, it's been Yankees, Red Sox every year to the point I'm burned out. Like, dude, I used to get so fucking amped up for those games. And part of it is because we won a World Series. But I got to be honest, dude, when you haven't played each other 50 times a fucking year and they're always in first place, always in second place, it's like watching a comic who's on 10 the second they get on stage.
And right.
They're screaming like they're doing their closing bit. for the first 12 minutes, you're exhausted. You're like, all right, I got to listen to like 50 minutes of this. I can't listen to that anymore.
Yeah, I actually think the baseball season is just long and drawn out. Like, I could really give a shit until August, September. I think it's too long. I'm bored to tears with it. I think baseball, the older I get, the more I think baseball sucks.
Oh, really? Yeah, I still think it's a great game. I watched Kansas City up against the A's the other day, and it was like a rain delay, and there was nobody in the stands, and I loved it. I'm a grumpy old man.
Dude, I got to tell you something. When we were at that Laker game and we were watching that, I just said to myself, this is fucking awesome. Basketball is fast-paced, you know, good passes, the flow
keeps going. It's the shit until the end.
It really was fucking
awesome.
Until
the end.
Well, you don't like the bomp, 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 bomp.
Oh, anytime.
You know.
During the whole game.
Are you ready? Yeah, they do that. That's just to get the crowd pumped up and stuff. But
yeah, but
I mean,
what kind of fucking
awesome.
Loser fans do you have that you have to have a hype man the whole show?
That's true. They
bump,
do.
Bump, defense, bump, bump, defense. No. Dude, back in the day, you used to judge the fans by what they chanted. You can
right.
still kind of do it like the way Flyer fans chanted when they went up 3-0 against the Penguins. They just spontaneously started chanting, "You can't beat us." It was fucking great.
One.
Now, that says a lot about your fans. There's like a personality. There's a mm-hmm. character to that. But like you go to a fucking Laker game and they have like a DJ. They have a fucking nightclub. I sat up there for like a Kings game. It's the stupidest shit. And between periods, they start playing like music and there's like chicks dancing. It's the stupidest fucking thing ever.
Yeah.
But like basketball, I like. The only thing I don't like is in the end, I just don't like how it's this war, and then in the end, I watch them take unguarded shots to win the game. It's like anticlimactic, and then timeout, TV. Oh, that was a good foul. They had a foul to give. And then they stopped the clock. And then the worst is when the other team has already lost the game, and just to be cunts, they call timeout again.
Yeah,
and you're just delaying the inevitable. And you feel like a landlord trying to get some piece of shit out of the apartment.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
But they got to hit the shots. That's the one thing about it. You got to hit the foul shots. You know.
I know, but it turns into golf, Paul. It's like a guy lining up a putt now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It gets drawn out. But I'm such a sports. I'm so nuts with sports. I don't care. You know the way some people are like, oh, I like it quick. It's in and out. I'm like, why?
But I got to tell you, hockey's starting to do that. Hockey. This is the thing about hockey. You get one timeout a game. I think you do because I've watched it for 30 years. They never used them. Every once in a while, they'd call a timeout. And the coach would just be sitting there with a rolled-up program screaming at guys. He would just take a timeout because he couldn't wait to the end of the game to tell the team how fucking disappointed he was with the way they were playing. And that was the timeout. Now I'm finding at the end of the game, they're starting to call timeouts at the end of the game. And it sucks because that's what I like about hockey. I like how it just keeps moving. And people, they get involved in like the scoring and everything, and I totally understand that. Hockey's a very difficult game, if you didn't grow up with it, to get into. It's a very difficult game to watch on TV. But once you fucking understand it, it's the best game. Dude, that Flyers-Penguins series was the shit.
Dude, you want to talk about fucking animals. Okay, you know I'm not a big hockey guy. I love the three major sports. Maybe it's because I grew up in New York. I'm not a hockey guy. Never was. My uncle took
me. It's a fast game, Paul. It takes a certain level of intellect.
My uncle took me to an Islanders game years ago. But this shit, this playoffs, it's like fucking MMA on skates. These guys are fucking barbaric. That shit, that highlight game I saw against, it was New York and Ottawa, when the guy just came up, and it wasn't like, you know the typical fight where they wait, they look at each other,
right.
The officials know it's going to go down, gloves come off, and they get, it wasn't that. This dude just came up, and basically you could tell, you could watch as he skated, he mentally just tapped out of the game and said, it's done, I'm fighting this guy. He came over, he just started fucking teeing off on this guy, benches cleared, and I just saw blood and guys just looking to hurt somebody, and I've never seen that. It's almost hilarious.
But that's
to
what
me.
Kills hockey, is because those are the highlights they show. Like, you know what? What's his face did there? Met a world peace in the game we went to where he threw the elbow.
It's so stupid. That
I love
that
name.
No, but the fact that people actually call him that and like correct themselves, go, "Oh, I mean Meta."
You got to go Cosell on that. Like how Cosell would say Ali, and everyone was going Cassius Clay. You got to go Meta world peace.
It's just, he's such a nut job that.
It's fucking beautiful. You know what? It takes me back to when I first started watching the NBA and that guy World B Free was in the league. I don't want to slander the guy, but I think he had some issues and then he came around and then he changed his name to World B Free. It was great. He went bald the way old school people went bald where he didn't shave the sides. You know, black guy, he had the John Amos thing going on. And
who did he play for?
He played for the Cavaliers by the time I was watching him. I forget who he played for before that, but he was a guy who I may be confusing him with Maurice Lucas as far as, like, his background. I can't remember if he had the same recreational issues. But, like, dude, the NBA in the late 70s, right before Bird and Magic came in, was this weird time when they basically they merged with the ABA. Ratings were so fucking low. First of all, they had a major drug problem because that's when coke came around, and they came up with the brilliant thing saying that cocaine was no more addictive than caffeine. It was kind of a rich person drug.
Oh, I remember.
And, yeah, and
that,
everybody
yeah.
got like all everyone football, Hollywood Henderson, all these guys. So there was a bunch of guys who had fucking cocaine problems were in the league, and white people were still getting used to the fact that black people owned the sport and that it wasn't coming back. You know, anytime soon.
Right.
It was fucking over. All of a sudden, Dr. J brought the game above the rim. Once it was above the rim, it was over. All you could be was set shot Johnny or a good fucking passer as far as a white guy, which is something I think I've talked about on this podcast, is how whenever we go to an NBA game, we have that inside joke. When the white guy screws up, we just look at each other and we go, fucking white guy.
The best.
Fucking white guy.
The best was when we went to Portland. We went to Portland and the guy did it and in unison. At the same time. Yeah, you said
this once
before. Yeah,
what did he do? He missed a dunk.
He did something like he was like a wide open layup. It was just something that was absolutely so horrible and just such bad.
And he looked horrible doing it.
And he looked horrible doing it. And you said, you mentioned this once before, but we looked at each other and it was the exact same time. We just go, fucking white guy.
Fucking white guy. Get him out of there. Give him a clipboard and some fucking long slacked set of suit or something.
He looked bad. It was something easy. It was something that should have been
terrible.
Done. Oh, it's terrible.
We're off. We don't even look good. Even the good guys don't look good. Does Dirk Nowitzki, does he look good?
No, we were talking about if we did a...
Larry Bird, did he look good when he did the things he did? He didn't. It just went in.
Well, no, but Dirk's... Like, there are certain guys with unacceptable faces. That's why I was thinking about the website, unacceptablefacesinsports.com or worstfacesinsinsports.com, which we were talking
and
about.
And yours, who are the ones you hate the most?
Oh, Scott Brosius on the Yankees, third baseman of the Yankees, is one of the worst.
His who did you hate on the Red Sox? We just traded him to the Phillies.
Oh, my God. There was nothing worse in sports, nothing, than that fake, like, hardcore, intense looking that Jonathan Papelbon
I love how you had to say fake.
Well, yeah. No,
because you knew he was striking out your player.
He made his lips kind of come together, and he looked in like he – yeah, his lips came together, and he had the thing, and his eyes came down, and he just stared, and then he did the thing, and it was just almost like, okay, the big dramatic – oh, it was the absolute worst. Pedroia's face is a little unacceptable, but he actually tries hard, so I like that guy. But what do you think about Reggie Miller's face?
Tries hard. The MVP? There's something Cano's never done.
Yeah,
it's kind of easy to be the MVP when you're fucking nestled in there between Jeter and Teixeira and A-Rod.
Gee,
you're seeing a lot of pitches.
Dude, Robinson Cano.
Robinson Cano. Dude, Robinson Cano. Oh, he hit a single.
Though, do you think we were talking today about Reggie Miller's face? Does Reggie Miller have an unacceptable face?
No, mine would be Teixeira.
Teixeira's got a definitely.
Teixeira, I don't know what it is. When he's in an interview, he looks intelligent. When he's out in the field, he looks intelligent. The second that bat goes above his head, I don't know. He looks like some extra on fucking the Andy Griffith show.
He does. He looks like he's having a hard time thinking. He looks like he's going to puke.
Zero IQ is what he looks like. I don't know if he shuts his brain down and just be the ball. Be the ball. I don't know what he's doing, but he just looks like...
I think Dirk Nowitzki's got an unacceptable face in sports. He would be on the list. I don't know how high he would be, but he's got an unacceptable face. Who did you say was worse than Brocious? You said somebody was worse than Brocious.
Oh, yeah. going through the years as far as awful faces, Danny Ainge, Pau Gasol.
Oh, Pau Gasol.
When Pau Gasol, when they call a foul on Pau Gasol, that's the worst thing. Oh.
He's got an unacceptable face, too. Nothing worse.
You would think that somebody just said, yeah, listen, Pau, your career's over. You're not making any more money. That's the face he makes. Like,
nothing's worse than an athlete that is good and just ugly, and every time you see him, you're like, Larry Bird wasn't a good-looking man, Bill.
Yeah. Notice you hate all Boston guys.
No. I'm just saying.
Yeah, because
like,
they crush you guys.
No, I just think a lot of their faces are unacceptable.
I never found any of the Knicks' faces unacceptable. I love their look of defeat every time we played them in any major game. Dude, are they ever going to win a championship? This is one thing I got to give you shit about. You got to admit at this point.
What?
You can say at the very least, New York definitely has a problem with crowning people king and giving them ridiculous nicknames before they've done. They have like five good, like Linsanity. You can add that to Sanchez, Mangenius, Godzilla.
Godzilla was great, though. I liked the name Godzilla. But I think, man,
Godzilla, because he dominated the Japanese league, which at this point, I'm starting to think I could play over there. The fact that Valentine won the World Series, all those Japanese players who've come over there, and all of them, at best, they're fundamentally sound, except for Ichiro. And they all come over here like Dice K, the gyro ball. Matsui coming over. Godzilla, he's going to hit 800 home runs. And you know what, dude? They don't.
No.
Okay? They're all trying to act, too. No, you go to the Dominican Republic. That's where you go. That's where it starts.
Yeah, that's where Robinson Cano's from.
That's where, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And
you called him. It's amazing. I can't believe that. That and Cam Newton, dude. I don't know how you figured that one out.
No. But the Cam Newton thing, all I was saying was that.
Who'd you disagree with? That guy with the game show host hair on ESPN?
No. A lot of Heisman Trophy winners come into the NFL and they're busts. And you know that. They're fucking busts. And everybody says
I do know that, Paul. But I also know that you first of all, every year you call 20 things.
No,
you're
like
the guy who you bet show, place, to win. You fucking bet everything. You go everything straight across the board. And then you, at some point, you're going to have a winner.
No. See, this is I'm
Paul, I'm standing up right now because you're really fucking bugging me. You're the one. You were with all those clowns on ESPN telling me that Peyton Manning was better than Tom Brady when Peyton had zero rings. And no, fucking Brady has three.
I was definitely wrong about that. Okay. You talked me out of that, but since then.
And I'm admittedly way too harsh on that guy. But the unbelievable level of fucking disrespect Tom Brady got, he had three fucking rings. And they were still going, but dude, I got to tell you, if I got to start a fucking guy, but blah, blah, blah. And all these stupid Colt fans this year who said the Colts going fucking 0-14 is a testament as to how good Peyton Manning is. It's partly that, and it's partly how awful your fucking franchise was. How zero, you had zero depth at the quarterback position because the guy had never missed a start, and he lulled you into this false sense of security where you went from fucking Peyton Manning to some guy you got off a cot.
Well,
that's
just it. Without him, they were nothing, and you can't have that. That's
and they were also
draft.
Already on their way out, and they weren't going to win 13 games this year with him. They weren't. They were on their way down.
Double-digit wins I think they'd have with him this year. I think he'd get to the playoffs.
Like 10-6.
I think he'd get to the playoffs.
Yeah, he'd be 10-6, maybe 11-5, but they weren't going to be 13-3. Dude, they couldn't even beat the fucking Jets last year. They had the game won and they still blew it. That's another thing too. Too many first round losses with that guy. But I have a feeling, I don't think he's got enough guys out there. But I mean, look, I've admittedly, you know what? This is the real thing with my hatred of Peyton Manning. My hatred of Peyton Manning stemmed out of the complete disrespect of Tom Brady. And then I blamed it on Peyton Manning as if he said it. I mean, the guy's obviously first ballot fucking Hall of Famer. But I got to tell you, dude, he's got too many first round playoff losses against too many mediocre fucking teams.
I've talked about this many times. Tom Terrific, and he doesn't deserve to be called anything else besides
Tom. I hate when
Tom,
you say that.
Tom Terrific is the fucking, I think, I've made it. We've gotten to many arguments. I think if he gets one more, it solidifies it. I think that man has played the position as good, if not better, than anybody else ever. And Peyton Manning showed his truth. You can't throw a pick six in a Super Bowl. Can't do it. Throw a pick six in a Super Bowl to lose it?
To lose
over.
It. Yeah.
To lose
That's
it.
Bad. That's bad. But I'll guarantee you this, though. If he wins the second one, if he wins another one with the Broncos, you'll never hear Tom Brady's name. It'll all be about him. He has that thing because, you know what I think? He had the advantage of when he went outside in his backyard to play catch. He was playing catch with a fucking professional quarterback. So the guy's like,
well, he's been around
mechanically, he's fucking flawless.
Oh, yeah.
And he's flawless.
And
he is the anti-Tim Tebow.
He might be one of the best pure
passers
ever.
But I'll tell you,
but his brother.
If you could insert Tim Tebow's heart into that giant Tin Man Frankenstein, you would have the ultimate quarterback.
I think his brother Eli Manning has a lot more balls and is
you got balls. I don't get mad at that. What? No, Eli's a fucking winner.
Dude, he's got ice in his veins.
Absolutely. You don't need to tell me that. He fucking stuck me in the heart twice.
He's another face guy, though. He's another guy, you look at his face, and it's just, you know, you don't think he's got the heart that he's got when you look at his face.
Yeah, both of them. I don't know what it is about their faces. They, you know that old joke, he doesn't quite look done yet, put him back in the oven? They both have that. They have cookie dough faces.
Yeah, but I think Peyton is definitely.
No, Peyton's the man. Eli's the fucking man. I just get people going on the podcast. But I obviously don't fucking disrespect those guys. And I obviously know that the Broncos are going to be a way better team. And yeah. I respect the fact that this is what actually made me like Peyton Manning now. I actually kind of switched because he could have gone with the 49ers. And he didn't. He said, I don't want to be like thinking that I just piled on. So right then, that's it. Because that Clemens shit, when I watched Clemens win those two rings, when he jumped in the limo when you guys fucking were already winning championships, and he slid his fat, roided ass through the sunroof.
And you know what was worse than that? He said before that he would never want to play in New York. Like, that's another thing about that guy. I think that that guy is just a bad human being. I really don't like that guy. There's nothing likable about him. And you know what the funny thing is? Every time I saw
Roger... That he could beat the shit out of both of us?
Every time I saw Roger Clemens...
One of these days, I'm going to run into one of these people I'm talking about. I'm going to be in fucking trouble.
Every time I saw Roger Clemens pitch live, he got shelled. Every time. Just shit the bed every time I saw him. And good, I don't like him.
Yeah. You could see that Roy thing coming, though. Because he was fucking gigantic. And I swear to God, living in New York City, I think like six times a year, they would do some sort of insider story about his workout. And everybody was walking around going, dude, you see this guy's workout? It's like, that's exactly what they want you to say. Yeah. So anyways, let's get back to fucking Meta World Peace here. Dude, there's not one woman still listening to this podcast. We've talked sports nonstop for a half. I haven't done a fucking commercial yet here, Paul. Let me do a commercial. When we come back, a little Meta World Peace. You're listening to The Fan. with the fucking password I got to type in here. Paul, how'd you like riding around in my truck? How was that?
Oh, man, that was awesome.
By the way, I didn't even mention that you're crashing out here. You like that three in the tree? How fucking badass is that?
That's a badass truck. Dude, that truck looks like you have a rifle in it and you're just about to go do something really, really bad.
That's what I like about it. It looks like I know how to fight. That's what somebody told me. I said, dude, that truck's like the kind of truck you get into after you just beat up everybody in the bar.
Now, you said the funniest shit. I go, that truck looks like a bad motherfucker is in it. You just go, yeah, till I get out.
Dude, the difference of the looks that I get between driving my truck and driving the Prius is fucking hilarious. Dude, the fucking 8-year-olds stare me down when I get out of my Prius.
No, the front grille of your truck looks like you just something like bad happened in your past.
All right, wait a second here. Where the fuck is, all the goddamn advertising? See, this is what happens, Paul. This is when it slows down. This is when it slows down. Paul, what do you got to hype? Why don't we try and do something with you here? What do you got to hype, Paul? Where can people see you next?
I got a couple of shows.
Out in Jersey, I know that. No, going grocery shopping, right?
No, I'm actually going to be at the... I got a big show coming up.
You got a big show? Where are you going to be?
So I'm going to be in the...
You got a really big show.
In the back of this deli in Jersey. It's... guy's giving me 10 minutes. No,
where the fuck is all the Gamefly stuff? I'm the worst. Oh, go ahead, Paul.
How
about
the lovely people? No. Do what you got to do.
No, I can't, Paul, because then the podcast stops. All right, I already got this shit memorized. Hey, everybody. Do you like playing video games? Sure, we all do. Check this out, Paul. You're a big video game guy, right?
No.
You're not a big video game?
No.
You're supposed to roll with it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no.
Holy shit, do I love giving you. I got to start over. I got to start over.
No.
Because my ad guy cuts these things up.
No.
So I can't say cunt during them. I can't say any of that. Just shut up. I'm going to start over again.
All right.
Hey, who likes playing video games? Sure, we all do. Paul Verzi, do you like playing video games?
Love them.
You love them?
Absolutely.
You know, if you had to choose between that and a loved one. You're going video games, right?
All day.
Absolutely. All day.
Absolutely.
Dude, you called it.
Yep.
If you're into video games, Gamefly.com is the place to be. If you go there as a friend of mine, Gamefly.com/Bill Burr, you click on the microphone in the corner, you're going to get a 15-day free trial.
Wow.
8,000 games, Paul.
That's awesome.
8,000 games to choose from. Why do you need a girlfriend?
No.
Why do you need a wife? Why do you even need to be a parent at that point? Just lock yourself in the room. You get 15 days. That means you can play those games, Paul, for 2 weeks and a day. I know you're from Jersey, so you don't understand that. But 2 weeks and a day. 15 straight days, you can play 8,000 games. And at the end, if you want to walk, you walk, just like De Niro in Heat. Okay?
30 seconds or less.
That's right. You can't do any better than that. All right? Gamefly.com. I recommend it. You should recommend it. And someday, your mom will too. There we go. All right, back to the podcast. Meta World Peace. Dude, you know what's funny about that guy? Like, he had no intentions of elbowing that guy in the head.
No, he was just so in the moment.
But this is the thing. He's like that. You know that kid that wasn't special needs but almost was? And he had like that Olympic, you know, weightlifter kind of strength. That's fucking world peace. That's how he is. And those kids, whenever they got angry or excited, Somebody got hurt. Somebody got hurt or something got ripped out of the wall.
He's fucking nuts. There's no, you don't have
That's what happened with him. He went in and he scored. He started thumping his chest.
Yeah,
somebody came near him and he just fucking threw an elbow.
We're talking about a man who jumped in the stands and grabbed a civilian by the neck and started teeing off on him.
I'll give you this. He grabbed the wrong guy, but he was fucking right.
No, but
in a perfect world, he's right.
That's like Bill, but you know, in a perfect world.
Well, let me ask you this. Perfect. And where in this fucking world can you throw a drink in the face of a guy who's twice the size of you and not get the living shit kicked out of you? I'll tell you where. At a fucking NBA basketball game where there's no protection. They don't even have a helmet. They don't even have a fucking hat on. This guy throws a drink in his face. That guy, did you see the guy who threw it? How many N-word jokes do you think that guy told and laughed about in his life? And they were in Indiana. Give me a break. He probably had his fucking Klan hood underneath the seat.
Right.
Fuck him. He should have got the shit kicked out of him. And I feel bad for the web designer that actually got grabbed by the throat.
That guy. Yeah.
That kid had never been in a fight in his life. He didn't even know enough to run. He didn't even know enough to run.
No, the look of fear. He didn't even know what happened. He just had horrified fear in his eyes. And then Ron Artest just.
His feet were moving, but he wasn't going anywhere. And then he was trying to explain.
But
I'm trying to explain the situation.
But you look at it like this. If you're at a comedy club and you're on stage and somebody throws something at you, you're not going to do. As a matter of fact, somebody threw something at you, right? I know somebody else. I think somebody said they were flicking stuff. I saw this woman. She goes, really? And she kind of just called the crowd an animal. But as a professional, you can't fucking.
Paul,
I'm going to
tell
awesome.
You right now. If you were doing a bit and for some reason. Because this was different. Because it was a bullshit call. And that's why he laid down on the table. So let's just say you're playing some fucking hell gig. All right? The crowd sucks. The microphone's not working. So you're like, you got to give me a fucking... I can't even get the show going. I can't even speak into this microphone. This is my lightsaber. It's not even working. And then you just make a joke and you lay down until you get the proper microphone. And while you're laying there, some drunk douche takes a full drink and throws it in your face. You're telling me you're not going into the crowd.
It would be tough. It would be tough. You know, it would be really. I mean, that's got to be.
Look, dude, that's what I hated about that whole thing. With like, we're not excusing the fan behavior, but as a professional basketball player, you have to blah blah blah. Blah. No, you don't. You don't. You have a responsibility for your own safety in the world, okay? And part of that responsibility is that you don't walk around throwing drinks in faces of people that you cannot beat the shit out of.
Right? Yeah.
So you do that, and then somebody else gets their fucking ass kicked because of it. I mean, that guy was a coward. He was a fucking coward.
So when he ran in the stands, though, that was, like, unbelievable.
He was a coward. He should play for the Penguins.
Oh.
I just like fucking with the Penguins. I was so happy that they lost. I mean, I have this weird thing where I like most of the people on that team, but then they always just have a couple of those fucking guys going for the knees. I just don't like them.
Nah, you can't.
Then they always get like upset. Like Penguin fans, when Penguin fans talk about other teams being dirty, you know what that's like? That's like that chick with the big tits who goes to a party and has her tits hanging out and then says like, you know, what are you looking at?
Right.
That's what Penguin fans are to me.
I think they're all dirty. Like that Greg Williams thing, you heard that, right? The Greg Williams.
Uh-uh.
You heard the Greg Williams on the Saints, like the what he was saying to them?
Oh, yeah.
And when he was like, kill the head. Kill Frank Gore's head. I want
that's
his head
where it
sideways.
Crossed the line,
dude. When he said I wanted his head fucking sideways,
yeah,
that made
but
me
that,
realize
that's
that
where
a
it crossed
lot
the line.
Of-
and what I hated about how all the players were going, like, I mean, that just sounded like standard locker room talk until they named guys. It's like,
yes, no, he said,
obviously,
no, he said, rip his ACL. No, but I'm talking,
no,
about
but
he
let
said,
me,
kill
no,
his
so, but the point
head.
I'm making, the point I'm making was every player kept saying, I've heard that stuff in locker rooms my entire life. But the part where he made it, like, personally
right.
named guys, that's when it went too far. And it was driving me nuts. It's like, yeah, dude, that's what we're freaking out about. When I was in Little League, the fucking coach is sitting there going, like, we got to kick their fucking asses. You know, they're a bunch of pussies.
Yeah.
It's always saying that. But when you literally go, like, the shortstop, I don't like his face. I want his fucking nose bun. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard he's got an ACL problem. Why don't you go out there and deliberately blow out his ACL? When you start literally naming it, that's where it crossed the fucking line. My thing. It seems straight across the board that none of the players had a problem with it. So now I don't feel bad that they have the concussion problems that they have at the end. Because if you participate in that, then you know. But then that's kind of like the chicken or the egg. It's like if you don't do that, then you're not on the team.
But I actually agreed with everything that the penalties that they got, and I think that this happens all over. You know, I don't think guys like Tony Dungy do it. I don't think certain guys do it. But I think you know, they'll say, go fucking get, like you said.
No, I think it's, but once, listen, my deal, like, go out, kill him, rip his head off, have his head going the other way. But when you specifically name a player and you say what their injury is, and all the players is like, well, we already know what their injuries are, so we're definitely going to try to exploit that. Dude, you know what all of that is, Paul? That is, it all has to do with millions of dollars being at stake, which brings in the whores. And there's A-level pussy, and it's all there.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
It's like, dude, you're getting to the top of the mountain, and it just becomes by hook or by crook, and they're just going to do that type of shit. And it's just really shit that, as fans, you didn't want to see.
You didn't want to hear, but did you
and now they're making an example out of that guy because everybody's livelihood, including ESPN's, is on the line, that if there's too much of that negative shit, people aren't going to watch it because that's the only guy in sports I don't like. Is I don't like the guy who deliberately goes out, who can't beat the other team, so he deliberately goes out and tries to injure a fucking player, because I feel like that requires no skill whatsoever on any given play. You know, people are watching the guy with the ball. I know. Keep your head on a swivel. Is what's his face? Remember that time he said that 80 fucking times, Warren Sapp? Keep your head on a swivel. I understand. You're supposed to be looking around. Isn't it amazing how fucking out of shape he was, yet still was fat?
That fast.
How fast would have that guy been if he dropped 40 pounds?
Yeah.
Dude, he had that line on the side, you know, when you got that love handle that just like puts a divot. His whole fucking career.
He looked fucking 8 months pregnant his whole career, and he fucking could run.
And was fast as hell.
Was faster than anyone.
All right, here's a good one. Worst sports bodies, yet for some reason.
Phil Mickelson comes to mind first.
Okay, I'll get one. Paul Pierce's arms are unacceptable. Unacceptable. You're okay, you're an athlete and you're a black guy. You should be fucking chiseled. He should be ripped.
I think actually,
he doesn't even have white guy arms. No. He has like middle-aged accountant.
He's got 60-year-old arms. Yeah. I think Peyton Manning's body's weird. He's still got that little pot belly. The way he walks and he kind of
he's got a
pot belly. You ever see Peyton Manning without his pads? He's got that gut.
Yeah, he's got sitting on a tractor body.
Phil Mickelson, definitely.
He's been better though lately.
He was all, dude.
Golfers, like I told you, golf is not a fucking sport. It's a skill.
It's
a skill, too. The amount of guys I know that suck at real sports, like there's somebody trying to prevent you from scoring and you have to like be able to throw and catch or whatever, skate, stick handle.
Yeah.
They absolutely suck. But then you put them out on a golf course and they can hit it straight because it's like this mechanics.
It's just a mechanical thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's all like, dude, it's you against yourself. It's not, dude. It's like pool. But pool, you're also playing somebody. I don't know.
Bowling.
But golf. Golf, you're also playing somebody. Yeah, bowling. Bowling, pool, golf, they're tier two sports, I would say. Although pool is cool as hell.
What do you think about NASCAR? You never see a fat fuck driving a car around 200 miles an hour.
Once again, though. Yeah, well, you got to be in shape for that. Unless you can drive like a van.
Yeah, but there's not one fat NASCAR driver, really.
Yeah, but that just means they're in shape. You know what I mean? Look at everybody in China. Everybody in China is fucking in ridiculously good shape compared to this country. That doesn't mean they can all catch a ball.
Right.
You're just saying somebody's in shape. You know, they're eating well. But no, but I once again.
You think it's a skill.
I have a friend of mine, same thing. Can't catch, can't throw. Throws like a fucking girl. Anything with wheels, forget about it. The guy becomes, he's one with it.
Yeah.
Drives like a maniac. He had a BMW 5 Series, and he took me out on the highway, dude, and I swear to God, I almost fucking threw up. It was like I was in an F-16. I had my foot up on the dashboard going, dude, I got it.
So,
and he's just sitting there laughing at me. And then you get him out on the court, or you throw a ball at him. I swear to God, it's like a toddler.
Like those guys that go fast like that, man, that's so funny that you were going, dude, one time I was in college, and we were driving, and me and my friend, it was raining, and my friend's trying to show off. And me and my other friend didn't want to look like, you know, we don't look like pussies.
Right.
But we got genuinely scared, and like, I don't know. And the dude was just going, and the rain's coming down.
Oh, yeah.
And all me and my friend were doing, we go, dude, it's not worth it. Like, we were just trying to calm. Yeah, trying to be calm. Like, no, dude, listen, I think there's a cop. There's a cop up there. But those guys that get that, those are like those motorcycle guys that need that speed. They fucking, that's scary shit to me, man.
Yeah, that's one of those, yeah, you're going so fast, you're going to be like,
I'm Buick sedans, Bill.
Yeah, you're going to wake up ejected from the car. If you're lucky, you're going to fucking wake up. It's brutal. It's fucking garbage. It's a joke. Verzi's got me addicted to Florentine's podcast. And now Verzi does a pretty good Florentine. Dude, Florentine is the funniest motherfucker ever.
Listening to
just
Florentine complain
about anything.
Oh my god!
That
yeah,
robot.
That's what guys care
that
about,
robot.
Right?
You fucking kidding me?
Fucking
it's garbage. Fucking joke.
Fucking Fox News robot. Fucking.
You got that like, robot.
The way he goes like up. Or he like drags the word out.
It's fucking halftime. It's fucking.
That's really good, man.
He's fucking funny, man. Listen to that guy complain.
Really, really? Like we've never seen a beautiful woman before?
Fucking guy, Bud Light commercial. It's fucking ridiculous.
All right. What do we got here? This is, okay, sunglasses. There's some really, some weird ones this week. People like, this guy says, hey, Bill, my listeners send in like questions and shit, and I read it just to let you know. Billiam, I need to ask you a very important question. My wife makes fun of my choice of sunglasses. She thinks they're not hip enough. I told her I was wearing brown tinted sunburst aviators since college before the whole aviator hype. Is there aviator hype? I don't remember.
Mean, Top Gun came out.
Yeah, I was going to say, back then, those people who...
in 1980s.
Yeah, who wanted to be like Tom Cruise. You know, my neighbor, when I was growing up, any movie that Tom Cruise was in, he got into that, like whatever it was. Like Top Gun, he joined like the fucking...
He joined the
Air Force Reserves.
No.
He alligator armed it. He joined that, and then...
Days of Thunder, he started racing cars?
No, Cocktail, he became like a bartender. His rich dad got him out of the fucking reserves.
Out of here. Are you
serious? Yeah, he started getting into that. And what else did he do? There was like three things, so it kind of became this running joke, like whatever fucking Tom Cruise movie was coming out. And then eventually he moved out to L.A., finally just well, why don't I just be a fucking actor? You know, so I don't have to actually join the fucking Air Force.
That's
don't know whatever happened to him. So anyway, aviator glasses, which were, yeah, the Tom Cruise fan / date rapist. Remember that fucking kid I was talking about him? Do you remember that kid who he had the rough sex with the girl in Central Park and she died?
No.
You're too young for that. Yeah, this guy.
What?
This fucking psycho. No, he killed her. He tried to say that that she wanted rough sex. It was consensual. And... I don't know what he accidentally killed her or whatever.
That puts
a
whole other meaning to the word killing it.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ, Paul.
How you doing with the ladies?
Killing it. Crushed it. Fucking crushed it. Anyways, dude, that's fucking brutal. So anyway, but this guy, you know what? It actually made me mad when he got out of prison. Not only that he got out of, on two levels it made me mad. First of all, the guy got out of prison, but the idiots on the news going off on the guy were saying, because when he got out, he wasn't on parole because he did all his time, because he didn't get time off for good behavior, because they were just like, you know, he had fights in prison. He was selling drugs and blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, all that says in there is he didn't get raped. He did what he had to do in there to survive. So on some level, yeah, you have to respect that, because that's the big fear as a guy.
Wait, did he rape the girl? Or it was just rough sex.
I don't know what he did. I don't know what
That's
happened.
That's such a big difference, though.
Well, I don't know if he went like Ron Artest, like it was going good and he was excited and then he fucking elbowed her. Why are we joking about this?
He just dunked and then he fucking started pounding his chest.
Yeah, and then they didn't show the replay because it was a home game. No, he fucking,
so
I don't know.
So how long did he do? They let him out of jail?
Yeah, he did like all 15 or 16 years because they couldn't get him on murder because... He said it was like, I know, like on rape trials, like what they always do, like the hardest thing to get him on is when they say it was consensual. So then all DNA is out the fucking window. Then you have to like, it's the worst fucking thing. If somebody does that to a woman, they should be, honestly, they should have like a flamethrower. And they should just have it pointed at the defendant. And jury, would you like to read the verdict? On the count of rape, we find him guilty in the first degree. And just, you just light him on fire right in front of the family.
Yeah, yeah.
Right in front of the family. That's how I would run it.
Just same thing with...
Child molesters.
Oh, that's the worst.
Child molesters, that's it. Child molested, I would actually have them get chased by rabid dogs first. And then...
Dude, this Sandusky guy should get fucking drawn and quartered in the courtroom. Put his fucking body parts in a bag.
He should be underneath an oil tanker, and then they should drive it to fucking...
Man that's walking this earth. He's a
that's what I would do with
devil.
That guy. What I would do with that guy, well, I would go into shark-infested waters, and I would give him a bunch of paper cuts, and I'd tie him to the front of a boat.
Oh my God. I never heard of like that. Well, that's a good one, man.
Well, just Paul, you got to understand when you do something like that to somebody, you didn't just you ended that kid's life. And then you affected generations of people because who they're going to marry, how they're going to treat the person they marry, how they're going to treat their kids, and then the treatment of the kids, how they're going to act in society. It just it creates – it's like that little Confucius thing when you drop the pebble in the still pond and the ripples just go like that. See, you got a little poetic on you. It's like that. No, see, that's what I say. Tie him to the front of a boat, paper cuts, shark-infested waters, and that's it. And you know what's awesome. Funny? And this is the thing about it.
That's funny. That'd be awesome.
And it still won't stop them. It still won't stop it from happening. But you should start weeding them out.
That's a sick, like that's a sickness, man. From young, it's fucking crazy, man.
Yeah.
To that's just a, and it ruins the lives of
everybody.
But the kid forever.
Yeah, it's over. Why are you saying what I just said, Paul?
What? Oh, did you say it? I'm sorry.
Yeah, you won't even listen. A typical comedian. Just, you were thinking about what you were going to say. That's literally exactly what I just said.
No, I was thinking about the You singing bait, I was thinking about him actually like hitting the thing like a buoy.
Oh, that's right. You got that weird fucking shit where you every once in a while you think about doing crazy
horrible
stuff, right?
Sometimes, yeah.
I always get nervous about admitting this type of stuff. Like someday, if you're like on trial, like you know, I'm gonna get put in contempt of court because I'd still never rat you out. But it'd be like, what are you talking about? You guys talked about this on the podcast.
What, are you kidding me? It was a joke.
Like garbage.
What's the last fucked up thought you had?
It's tough, man, because like when my son was born, I loved him so much, so when I would hold him, all you'd think about was what if I have the power to hurt him, but you love him so much, and it would freak me out. And now my daughter's coming Monday, you know,
right?
And I'm just kind of like all you want to do is block it out, and the more you try to block it out, bad things happen. But no, I'll sit down with somebody and talk.
What do you mean
somebody.
The more you try to block it out, like bad things happen?
The more you think the fucked up thoughts. The more you try to block it out and say, man, I don't want to think about that because it's crazy and fucked up. What happens is it just magnifies and multiplies.
Oh, in your head.
In your head, and it keeps going.
So what are you like stoically walking with your kid towards your wife and just hand it off to her?
No. I just have to keep telling myself that you would never do it, but it's fucked up. Like it's painful, but I've been dealing with it for so long.
So it's more like a fear. You have like a fear, like, oh my God, what if I did this? It's not like obviously an urge.
Yeah, no. It's actually like it's a urge that you won't act on. But you're not going to do it, you know. But it's a fear and an urge, and it's.
So Verzi has inexplicably one of the smartest kids I've ever seen. The kid is ridiculously smart. Yeah, and when I hang out with you, Paul, I just think like you must have married one of the smartest women on the planet because that kid is a genius.
Like, I've been sitting with somebody and really thinking about if I just would take a vase and fucking smash it over their face. And the funny thing is sometimes you just have to like smile and laugh and you can never tell the person what you're thinking, but it's OCD. It's what it is.
Do you know what I actually woke up thinking today? And I was just laughing my ass off. I was thinking about what if you videotaped a game called Shut Your Goddamn Mouth, and the thing was, you just you and a friend walk around and you just randomly scream that at strangers who are having a conversation, and the first guy that gets somebody mad enough to hit him, you can't hit him back. The first guy gets them mad enough to hit him wins whatever. And I was just picturing all the different scenarios and just the amount of people who don't fight, and the amount of people who have too much to lose,
or afraid of
the amount of people who would be like startled.
Yeah.
And then you get like the whole like race thing going on, where like as a white guy, you think if I ran up to a black guy and did that, that's automatically he's going to beat the shit out of me. But like there's something about when you do that to somebody black as a white person, they think like, well, he knows I'm going to kick the shit out of him. He's got to
be crazy. Yeah.
And then I think people just think that in general. Because I remember one time, a long time ago, I was on a subway. I was on the downtown 6. And this fucking white dude, junkie, gets on. I don't know what this guy was on, but he was in the beginnings of being a junkie because his clothes were still nice, but he was clearly fucked up. And he was dropping the N-word, singing this song. He was hammered out of his, whatever, he's high out of his mind. And he gets on the subway and he was singing this song going, I'm a crazy N-word. Yes, I am. I'm a crazy N-word. Doing the best I can, and then we go, woo! He would punch the side of the train, right? Inside the train. So all the white people immediately, we're looking at all the black people going like, oh, here comes the beatdown. How can I position myself so they know I'm not with him, that I don't condone that, any of that shit? And he just kept fucking doing it, and I saw on their faces the look of, what the fuck did he just say? And then going like, oh, that guy's crazy. And then the social awkwardness of them knowing that we're thinking, wait, I thought that was an automatic fucking beatdown. That's when I first learned about crazy, was when I first moved to New York.
So what was the game? The game that you thought,
So it's called Shut Your Goddamn Mouth. And that's, you just, I woke up this morning and I just was fucking, just the first thing I thought of, and I just started laughing my ass off. And Nia came out of the bathroom and she saw the bed shaking like I was under the covers, just laughing, laying on my side. She probably thought I was jerking off or something. She was like, what are you doing? And I just started, I was like crying, laughing, going, I got a great idea for a game. It's called Shut Your Goddamn Mouth. And she just starts laughing, going.
I would love to watch that.
Oh, yeah. Either that or hey. Just people like talking. You just walk in, you go, hey! As loud as you can. You're quiet.
You know, I had
and you whisper like a psycho.
Back in the day, I had a game idea called Reactions. And it was just real. Everything was coming up. But you would just go to the counter at a supermarket. And you would just say the fucking craziest thing with a dead straight face and just see how people react.
You know what's funny? Like that. Like, now, we're actually pitching a TV show. I mean, that's sort of like Jackass meets the beginning of what's that? What's that movie where they fought? Patrice says it was white people's Scarface. What's the one with the soap? Fight Club.
Oh, Fight Club.
Fight Club. Yeah, it was hilarious. Patrice, he said on Opie and Anthony that was white people's Scarface because he's watched it a zillion times and cannot understand the connection. And I'm not one of those white people that connects to that movie. I saw it one time. I watched it. I liked it.
I thought it was a little. I thought it was okay. But everybody that like loves,
you know
it,
what I didn't
it
like. Doesn't Meatloaf take his shirt off at some point in the movie?
And he looks like
I can never see that again. Was that to balance out how shredded Brad Pitt was? You know what I mean?
That movie was fucking weird, and I didn't understand when the guy died, when he put the gun in his mouth at the end and shot himself. It was supposed to kill the one personality, but he put a gun in his mouth and pulled the trigger.
Well, he was crazy, right? I don't even remember that part. I just remember when he beat up the one kid, saying, "I wanted to wreck something beautiful," like that. That just made me. That was like that same thing, going out for somebody's ACL for no fucking reason. I didn't stand by that movie.
No, me
neither. I didn't. Anyways, all right, cartoons. Dear Bill, this isn't. Oh, we didn't ask the fucking guy's question here. We were talking about aviators. He said, what's the breakdown of douchey sunglasses versus acceptable ones? What kind of sunglasses do you wear, and does Nia have any say in the matter? I imagine you wear very non-threatening, low-profile shades. I can't tell if that's an insult or if he's. Sounds like an insult, right?
No, I don't think it's an insult. I think this guy genuinely wants to know what he could wear to make his girl stop trashing him.
Well, this is what you have to do. First of all, depending on where you are in your relationship, is if you feel secure in your relationship, maybe she's just doing you a solid and telling you that you look like a douche. But if she's always telling you everything, what to do, then you have to continue wearing those glasses and you have to wear them over to her mother's house.
Defiance.
Yes, and wear them into the house and don't take them off when her mom's talking to you. That's like a buddy of mine, right?
Dude, women though, women just I just want me to say something real quick.
Oh God, more women trashing. I was hoping you were going to be nice to them.
Like, it's just like, could you like a guy's really thinking about it, and this happens all the time. This guy's got a genuine concern here, but like for like I've heard of guys going, yeah, my girl just looked over at me and looked at that shirt and goes, ugh, it's such a turnoff, take it off. And I want to be, it's in my mind, I'm just like, I want to be like, dude, shut the, are you out of your mind?
Yeah, but those guys deserve it. They fucking deserve it, Paul. If you let the woman in your life talk to you like that, they fucking deserve it. The same way a woman deserves it. If that guy is a fucking asshole, minus them beating the shit out of you. But I got to – yeah, minus them beating the shit out of you.
But
like, if they beat you up, then that's just complete bullshit.
No, of course.
But if they're walking around being a fucking asshole, disrespecting you, that's on you, okay?
But if the guy says
break up with them.
But what if the guy says to her, shut up. You know, I'm wearing the shirt. Shut up.
Yeah.
Is he a dick?
No.
Right. But then it's like, oh, my God, don't
talk. That's a total turnoff that disgusts me. Take that off. Just flip it around. What if you ever said that to your girl?
Yeah, exactly.
That's disgusting. It makes you look fat. Come on. You'd never do that.
No.
Even if you said that disgusts me, that would be it.
Listen, here's my answer.
They would pout through the fucking dessert that night at the meal.
Well, here's my answer to your listener's question here. If you like them, dude, and you look in the mirror and you go, you know something? I like the glare. I like if it's orange tint or whatever. You like it, fucking wear it.
Paul, you know something? That's why you and your wife are so comfortable to hang around. Because how many times you guys tell each other, go fuck yourself? You say, go fuck yourself, right? You do that, right?
Like, no, we'll just be like, you know something,
shut up.
But in a loving way, like a.
Yeah, but you got to keep them off you. The same way she has to keep you off her, you know, if she didn't keep you in check, you'd golf fucking 9 times a week.
Right.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. There's a fine line in what's like, you know, yes, exactly.
Dude, I had a buddy of mine, right? We went fishing, right? We were done fishing. You know, we drank a bunch of booze or whatever. We were smoking cigars, and his wife pulls up, and, you know, they told their kid about the dangers of smoking, right? So the kid starts fucking crying and blah, and there's all this big fucking thing. And the guy was literally in the doghouse. And I guess maybe because the kid was crying, I kind of saw her point, but he's one of those fucking guys. I wanted to say to him, like, dude, you know what would really help your relationship? Next time you drop your kid off in the car, take out a big fat fucking Cuban and just light it up.
Yeah.
And I go, what are you doing? I'm smoking a cigar because I enjoy it. When I come home, I'm going to watch a game. And I'm smoking this fucking cigar. And when she says why, you say, because you can go fuck yourself. And I'm telling you. It's a little blunt. You can round off the edges.
You might not want to say you could go fuck yourself.
But I'm just saying, that would help your relationship. Happy. It's like that movie. Remember the movie there with Kevin Spacey when she comes home? What is that in the driveway? He's like, that is a 1969 Firebird. And I went out and bought it because I wanted it. Go fuck yourself. And you saw the look on her face. There was a shift for the better in that relationship. But doesn't he die in the end? Doesn't he get killed?
Oh, I don't know. Was that?
That was a weird one. He wanted to fuck that 12-year-old.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Fuck that movie. Sitting there with rose petals falling all over him. So we're saying, you know what? You wear the goddamn sunglasses you want to, sir.
That's right.
Jesus, we're an hour in. We got to blow through this here. Cartoons. Dear Bill, this isn't so much a request for advice, but an offer of one. Everyone needs to watch more cartoons. The old school one for kids. Looney Tunes, etc. I used to be a nice guy, and then I started watching MTV and thinking I was too cool for cartoons. Recently, I watched my son watch cartoons and I realized he's in a great mood because of it. When I changed the channel, he got mad. But here's the catch. So did I. When I changed the channel to news, sports, or even a show like Breaking Bad, hey, I'm on that show. He said, I get mad. Something gets my adrenaline going. Oh, you get like all amped up. This guy, a lot of meta world peace going on here. I always say meadow, like meadowlark. Meta.
Meta.
Is it me, or can I watch a little yellow bird talk like a wise ass? Oh, is it me, or can watching a little yellow bird talk like a wise ass help with blood pressure situations? Dude, if it works for you, absolutely. I went to the gun range the other day, right? Squeezed off a few fucking rounds. Dude, it was such a stress reliever.
Really?
It's phenomenal. It's inexplicable. You'd think if you were doing something like that and the violence associated with it, that you would be like, I guess you hit a heavy bag, you feel
Dude,
better.
Can we do that? Can we do that?
Yeah. You know what's weird is you have to go over there with somebody else out here because somebody went in there and said, hey, can I have a gun? All right, thanks a lot. And they fucking blew their brains out.
No. Are you serious?
Yeah, but how would you stop me?
That's the funniest.
I got a loaded gun. Get away from me. Then I just fucking put it to my head. I think they just don't want the responsibility. I don't even know if that's true. Somebody just told me that. That's one of those classic things at a bar. Somebody told me. All right, Paul, you know what a kegerator is?
Yes.
A kegerator. All right, here's the guy. All right, first things first. Hey, did you hype any shows you have coming up?
No, not yet.
Yeah, what do you have coming up before I get through all this bullshit?
Oh, okay.
Where are you going to be, Paul?
You could check me out. I'm going to be at Wise Guys Comedy Club in Syracuse, New York, May 10th through the 13th. And then I got a big one at the beautiful new Levity Live Comedy Club in West Nyack, New York. I'm headlining. It's my night. It's a Thursday night. Tickets are already selling. It's in my neck of the woods, so please come out. And
and is that the one with the sign Incorporated DiStefano?
No. That's going to be the new one coming out in New York.
Did I just ruin the
surprise? No. The new one. That's the new one. I'll definitely announce that one. But Levity Live is the new one that Mazzilli, the owner of
Gotham. Paul Verzi has my stamp of approval. All right.
Thank you. And also,
I'm Bill Burr, and I support this comedian.
And Twitter at Paul Verzi.
Jesus
Thank
Christ.
You.
Okay. Good
Lord. Social Security number.
I know. You fucking whoring yourself out here. Sorry. All right. Kegerator. First thing first. I'm over 21 years of age, so no worries about giving advice to a minor. Recently, my wife approached me and asked why we don't have a kegerator. Huh? He's got a good one here. Yeah. He goes, needless to say, within minutes of that statement, we now are the proud owners of a new kegerator. And seeing as how I've been married for 8 years, and this is the first time she's ever given approval for a purchase prior to me buying it, I'm pretty excited about this. How do guys get themselves in that situation? Unless she's making all the money and you got to go to her for cash, right?
Yeah, I mean, she seems cool unless she's got a drinking problem, but that's awesome.
Yeah. You know what? I didn't even think of that. Anyways, however, I really need some advice as to what kind of beer I should keep in stock with. Choosing the right beer is key to the process. I'm afraid if I buy something like Amstel Light, All my friends will know my wife wears the pants in the family. That's hilarious because he gets a calorie, less calories here. If I buy a stronger, thicker, more manly beer like Newcastle or Guinness, I may also have to buy a wheelbarrow to wheel my friends out of the basement on weekends, and I really don't need that level of responsibility. I can't do anything like Miller Lite or Coors Light because I might as well hook the tap up to the faucet. That's true.
That's very true.
I said that a long time ago, that Coors Light, that's like vitamin water for alcoholics. Like all my friends, yeah. Just, you know, I'm on the wagon. You're like, dude, you're fucking drinking. Yeah, it's Coors Light. I narrowed it down to Dos Equis or Labatt Blue. The only thing with Labatt Blue would be if any French Canadians find out I'm fucked, because you know those bastards would be knocking on my door 7 days a week. What do you think, Paul? If you had to get a kegerator.
If you had to get a kegerator. It sounds like this guy doesn't want to go domestic, but he also doesn't want to go really fattening. Sam? Killians?
Sam Adams?
Yeah. Sam
Killians?
Maybe a nice pale ale?
I would just go classic. It's a keg. It's a fucking keg. That's Budweiser.
Isn't that such a weird thing for your wife to just purchase, like to be like, yeah, you know what, I got that. Like, that's pretty fucking cool.
That's beyond cool.
That's weird almost. Like, yeah. If Stacey came home, I would just be, yeah, I got this big wine rack. I'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah. She starts doing like little kegerator headstands. You know, they do that, they have girl push-ups. She does like the girl version of the fucking keg stand.
What beer would you put in there?
I'd get Budweiser because that's like a classic. Like, who's going to come home? Dude, what are you going to come home like Norm on Cheers and you're just going to start pouring yourself a big mug of beer? You're going to be a tub of shit. So I figured the only time you're really going to be pouring like that is if you have guys over for the game. Budweiser is a nice middle of the road that everybody's going to like. You drink Bud at the game.
Yeah.
It's not one of the light beers.
But don't you feel like shit now? Like now that I'm like, you know, 33 years old and stuff, so my metabolism is obviously slowing down. But I got to be honest with you, man. When I drink 3 beers, I feel like a fucking fat, bloated. I could feel my tits getting bigger.
Yeah.
I could feel.
You're about ready to enter your whiskey and scotch years.
Yeah, I think
that's
so.
That's what you do.
I think so, because beer just gives me that bloat, and then you get tired. Whiskey, if I drink a whiskey on the rocks now, which is kind of dangerous,
Whiskey, scotch, that's like a vaporizer for alcoholics. Like, you know, vaporizer, you have like – vaporizer, if you're going to smoke weed, is the way to do it, I would think, because it filters out everything except the shit that gets you high. You take a hit off it. It there's no burning sensation. It's like a mist. And I swear to God, if you get high with a vaporizer versus drinking 3 or 4 beers, like just the fatty tissue you're going to build on your liver, like I would think that a vaporizer is. I mean, obviously, no research here because I'm an idiot. But I just by looking at it, that's arguably the healthiest way to get fucked up. You know what I mean?
What's the most healthy to drink? What's more healthy?
I have no idea.
For fat.
Well, I would say for not being fat, look, if you get like you just drink hard stuff and you drink it on the rocks or you just drink it neat, and what people get fucked up is you know, they drink like Jack and Cokes. You're drinking sodas all night.
See, I don't know all those fucking like alcoholic words like neat. I would just be like, give
neat.
It to me regular.
Yeah, neat is no ice. That's just straight.
Okay.
And then rocks is obviously with some ice, but you don't want to mix it with anything like – you know, I guess, you know, twist the lime. The older you get, you just want to go right to the fucking, you get right to the point.
The older you get.
It's like
how
old people fight. If they're going to fight, they're not going to sit there and try and, you know, who used to do that bit? Like Richard Pryor or somebody. They're not going to look cool. They're going to immediately try to blow out your knee and just end the shit. They'll kick you in the balls. They don't give a fuck. That's the way old people drink. Like I've heard somebody tell, was a bartender, said when somebody comes in, if they order a beer, I think, okay, this guy could be a problem. But if somebody just comes in and they order like a whiskey or whatever, And then it's just sitting there, you know, and they know how they want to drink. All right, this guy's a pro. He can handle himself.
This guy's a rookie.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
He's going to get ugly.
Oh, yeah. He's coming in. Let me get, you know, get a shot of Zambuca, a couple. Yeah, you guys want to do shots? You want to round up shots? Those guys, yeah, that's going to be.
Let
it's like
a car bomb as soon as you start.
Dude, is a car bomb the dumbest thing? The Irish car bomb? It's cool because
what
it
is
makes
it? You drop amaretto into a beer? Is that what
it's a Guinness and it's a shot of, no, not a Guinness. It's maybe there's a bunch
Holy
of alcoholics
Bill,
right now.
I'm not going to lie to you. The end of this podcast got me thirsty.
Oh yeah, dude. I'm ready to drink.
Yeah, me too. Like,
yeah. No, we're boozing after this. Yeah. So sir, I would go with, but okay. So he says Dos Equis or Labatt Blue. You know what I would do? I wouldn't do Dos Equis just because the most interesting man in the world is a little overhyped. I'd go Labatt Blue. I think that's cool.
I can't remember what Labatt Blue tastes like. It's Canadian, right?
Yeah. But does it have the extra alcohol? No, when it, once it comes in, once it comes into this country,
Molson
it doesn't.
Triple X has the extra alcohol. Is Dos Equis good? I heard Dos Equis is good, though.
Dude, that's another reason to fucking get into hockey. When you go up to Canada, when you drink their beer, it's, it has twice the alcohol content.
You know what the funny thing about Canadians are?
Other than the fact they say
neutral, they're peaceful and neutral with everything, but their sport is fucking barbaric, and they drink like fucking maniacs.
They do, and they're not peaceful either. They're not. That's just Michael Moore's version of what they are because it worked for his documentary. Dude, they lost a hockey game, and they burned down their city.
Talk about an unacceptable face.
Exactly.
Michael Moore's on the head of that.
I got fucking two words for Canada. Grow up. All right? Here's another two. Act your fucking age. I'll be in Edmonton at the – no, I'm kidding. All right. Here's another one. One of the last ones here. Oh, Jesus. Bill, I'm a 23-year-old guy from the Netherlands. I'm a longtime listener and always look forward to listening to your podcast. I always have a blast listening to your podcast. He said listening three times, but I'm not giving him shit because this is a second language. So this is very impressive to me. But every time you talk about religion, I start cringing. I don't mind a Jesus joke or two, but this time it felt really personal and angry. Well, I'm an angry guy, dude. I could talk about ice cream, and you'd be like, Jesus, somebody get him another one. I might be exaggerating since you had a hangover that week. Oh, anyways, last week you gave an illustration about why beings from another dimension would be interested in us, which made me think. Well, I'll play along with your illustration and explain why a powerful, intelligent being from another dimension would be interested in us and in you. He's trying to explain to me why he thinks God exists. Yeah. First of all, are you a believer?
I believe.
Yeah,
I believe
put that microphone
something.
Down and get the fuck out of here.
I believe in something.
Yeah, I'm not friends with you anymore. I thought you were intelligent. No, I'm kidding. I respect the fact.
You believe in something too. Fuck yourself.
Well, first of all, this being, God, made our universe, also our dimensions, either you believe that or not. So it would make total sense for him to be interested in us. Do you see what he just did there? He said, well, first of all, God made everything, either you believe it or not. All right? And then he goes, so that makes total sense for him to be interested in us. Like he just proved that he exists. There's a grand canyon in between what the fuck you started saying and then the logic you just came to. Anyways, he says, the Bible speaks that God made the earth in a living space in 7 days. The planet itself already existed. Or excited? I can't read what he wrote here. God simply made it into... Oh, it already existed. God simply made it into a living place for us humans. When translated to Hebrew, 7 days doesn't literally mean of 24 hours, but periods that could have lasted thousands of years. Oh, so now it totally makes sense that this invisible being that nobody's seen could have made this. Once you say thousands of years...
You know what's crazy about this, too? It's like... this comedian Willie Barceno was telling me that he went to perform for the troops, and he said they had a tent of Bibles. Right? For all the different... And he said, it totally put into perspective what, you know, religion, because he went into the tent and he said, you couldn't even count the amount of Bibles. The amount of different Bibles for different soldiers, for different beliefs is so much. And my older brother made a good point. My older brother goes, what's wrong with people just saying you don't know?
Yeah, why can't you
just say, listen, I believe in something. And I'll tell you.
It's the fear of dying.
I believe in higher powers, but I don't know.
It's a fear of dying, and then they also have to...
is it just the fear of dying?
But they also have to... Then it's also control. They have to keep you... They have to... In a way, it's good, because if it wasn't this fear of eternal damnation, you know, just, you know, rape, pillage, and all kinds of shit could be going down. Like, you have to keep human beings, like, under control so we don't act like a bunch of fucking savages.
We wouldn't act like a bunch of savages.
Paul, you are 3 days without food and water away from fucking eating my foot right now. I'm telling you, okay? The only reason why we're civilized, you know what it's like? It's like when you're the fan of a team that wins a bunch of championships. And you, of course, you're going to go to the stadium and be classy. Your team's winning, all right? But all of a sudden, your team starts losing. That's when you decide whether you got class or not, you know? You start littering the field with shit.
So what do you believe in, Bill? Do you believe in God?
Well, let me finish what's going on here. I believe in, I don't know what the fuck happens, and everybody finds out what happens when you die. So don't fucking be telling me definitively what happens when you die. If you do that, you automatically lose points with me because it's written down by guys. I mean, come on, enough already. And stop getting mad at people because their version of it isn't. People make the mistake that I'm mad at people because they believe this stuff. I don't. What I don't like is that they fucking the all the murder and all the shit that comes out of it. And this whole, everybody, like Jewish people with the whole, we're the chosen ones.
Right.
It's like, why would you have that fucking written in? Don't they have that in there? I don't even know. Like, every fucking group. Or, like, Baptist, you're going to go to hell because you don't fucking spend 20 hours in church. I'm getting in trouble by every fucking group here. Catholics think they're the chosen one. Every fucking group says, you know, God loves everybody, created all of us, but he loves us the best. It's like you're trying to be the favorite son. It's fucking childish. And it's that thought right there.
Well, it's arrogant, too.
Yeah, it's that he gives a fuck.
Yeah.
Look, if there's a higher power, why would he make sociopaths? Just to keep it interesting? You know? Just to do it. That's like the wildcat offense when you just throw the fucking throw that sociopath in there. So anyways, he goes, yes, Bill, it's true that you didn't ask Jesus to die for your sin. But just like God, he was interested in the human race and wanted to save them from death and sin. And yes, that includes you. Also, I understand you have a beef with religion since those responsible seem to guide people with God's words and become greedy and perverted pigs. And in no way should they carry God's name. Make fun of them all you want, but please leave Jesus himself out of this. All he wanted to do was help the human race. I actually think he's right about that. What did Jesus do? Huh? He was just some hippie walking around. Hey, man, like, you know, can't we all get along? He's right. So I'll just attack religions from here on out.
Yeah, I don't really know much about the Bible. Did I read the sports page?
I can't get through it. He said it under you. I can't even read it.
You know what's a good one, though? It's Solomon. Just those quotes. The guy was like the John Wooden of then. He just look, says, you know, wisdom, this is good shit.
I refuse. There's nobody mad at me, okay, other than me, okay? I'm mad at myself. Nia gets mad at me. But God doesn't care.
Somebody told me, is my son baptized? And I said, no, we're going to do a double when my daughter's born. And they go, you got to get your son baptized because, you know, you want him to go to, like. And it's just kind of, they assume that, like, my beautiful, intelligent son.
And God would throw him into a pit of fire.
Like, it's like, that is the most fucking, and I look.
And who came up with that? Who came up with, the fucking church goes, if you don't get this kid fucking zombified in with what we're doing, then they're going to take this beautiful boy and throw him into a burning pit of hell forever.
I just looked at my son going, and I want to get some Swedish fish. And I'm just like, and this kid, this fucking beautiful little boy, is it because he didn't get baptized? It's like, it's so selfish. And then they want money, dude. And then these priests live in these houses. Listen, I don't want to sit here and trash. Listen, and I'll say this now. I believe in something. I believe in a higher power. And I believe in a God. And I believe, you know.
I believe that there's something that you cannot explain.
But to definitively say that this is what it is and you're wrong and crazy, I find arrogant. I find ridiculous, and to even insinuate the fact that my son may not go to heaven because we didn't do anything yet. So because of me and my wife being lazy or me being that's ridiculous.
I don't need to go. We weren't lazy. I don't need to go and do a house of worship. They hijacked what's in me. That's what I don't like, because if I do something good, I feel good. If I do something bad, I feel bad. And it's that feeling of doing the right thing. That's your connection to some sort of higher thing. And they hijack it and they flip it all around and they make this guy mad at me. And then his kid did something for me and got tortured for fucking days and days and days. And they just dump all this guilt on me. It's like, oh, fuck you. See, what are you, a fucking idiot? You sound like a guy who's trying to sell me some piece of shit car right now. I honestly, this is just my opinion, that I feel that, like, you are fucking, you have... You're weak if you buy into that. That is the pimp game. That's the same thing. You get me in this insecure, I'm not worthy, let me bow down, let's make the ceilings as high as fucking hell and have these giant fucking doors that a goddamn parade of elephants could go through three high to just make me feel all small and insignificant. Yeah. And then you're going to stand up there as a fellow human being and sit there and talk down to me in your little fancy fucking Elvis robe. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
How old am I?
And you know what?
I'm not saying I'm a good person, and I'm not saying that if there's a bad place that you go to, I'm not even saying that I'm not going there. But I can tell you right now, all of my friends are going too, and I want to hang out with them. So I don't give a fuck. Actually, all my buddies dying recently, like, made me less afraid of dying, because I know I'm going where they're going. So
yeah,
I don't want to not. What am I not going to see them forever because they went to one less titty? I went to one less titty bar than they did.
Right.
And then I'm going to hang out with fucking Jesus, going, you know, I did all that stuff for you. Why the fuck would I want to be there? Hey, buddy, go fuck yourself.
Jesus.
Huh? All right. I'm just fucking around, sir, from the Netherlands. All right? You can love Jesus all you want. I don't have a problem with him because, just like you, I never met him. And don't send me one next week. Well, maybe that's what you need to do. You need to meet him. You need to bring him into your life.
No, dude, it's cultish. Right. It's Jesus. Cultish.
It is,
you know,
cultish,
that?
Dude. What a fucking way to end this. Let's end it on something positive.
Okay.
Paul, do you go to Amazon.com?
I have.
Jesus, Paul, you're the worst hype guy ever.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, absolutely,
yeah.
I do.
Yeah, of course. I said I have.
Let's start over again.
Okay.
Okay, take two. Paul Verzi. Paul Verzi acts like he's interested in this advertising. Take two. Hey, Paul, do you ever go to Amazon.com?
Always.
It's great, right?
It's unbelievable.
Best website on the internet, right?
Only place I shop.
All right. Well, here's something. Next time you go to Amazon.com, if you'd like to donate to my podcast, just make a little detour. Go to BillBurr.com. You click on the podcast. On the right-hand side of the page, I got a little window. Is that what you call it? A little link. You click on it. A banner. Amazon.com. You go there. You don't have to do anything else after that. And if you buy anything, not saying you have to, if you buy anything, I get a kickback from whatever you buy, donates to the podcast, and then 10% of that I give to the Wounded Warriors. So you support me and you support the troops.
Awesome.
All at once. And what do? You bought yourself a Flobee at the same time. You
awesome.
Can't beat it.
Can't beat
you
it.
You can't beat it. Paul Verzi
supports
this message.
I
All
do.
Right. You know what? That's the podcast for this week. I'm going to be at the University of Concord in Concord, New Hampshire. There's limited tickets left. It is open to the public. Bring your ass down there. I'm building my new hour. I don't believe I did my old hour in New Hampshire. No, I didn't. I didn't. So it's going to be all new stuff. So get your ass out there and go see some live performances. And Paul Verzi, once again, where are you going to be in May?
I will be at Wise Guys Comedy Club in Syracuse, May 10 through 13. And the big one, Levity Live, May 17th in West Nyack, New York.
There you go. There you go, guys. Go out and see some live comedy. That's it. Go fuck yourselves. Don't take any shit. I'll talk to you next week.